It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Imagine this. She could be your best friend, your sister, your coworker. She could even be you. On the outside, she looks like she has it all together. A nice home, a polished smile, maybe even the dream job. But behind closed doors, silence is her survival. That silence helps no one. 1 in 4 women will face abuse in her lifetime. And while some forms of abuse are easy to spot, others hide in plain sight. Behind wealth, success, and respectability, it's called upscale abuse. In John and Susie, One Woman in Four is a Susie, author Kelly Jones pulls back the curtain on traditional and upscale abuse. With raw stories, urgent insights, and practical tools, she introduces the powerful BOSS framework, showing how abusers choose, trap, and control their victims. More importantly, she gives survivors and allies the clarity and courage to recognize danger before it's too late. John and Susie isn't just awareness. It's a call to action. It shows how abuse ripples beyond the victim to children, families, friends, even bystanders, and it gives us all the tools to respond with compassion and safety. John and Susie, One Woman in Four is a Susie by Kelly Jones, is available on Amazon. Awareness is the first step. Action is the next step. Don't wait.
And on that note, welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your boy LA, and with me, my girl, my friend, my pal, Tots. How are you, Tatiana?
I'm doing well. I just got a babysitter for the first time in 6 months last night so that I could go on a date.
Cool, cool.
And so I'm like, maybe I can make, maybe this can work. We'll see.
So you know what you just did. You know you done did it. Because when you put that out there now, everyone wants to hear about the date.
Oh.
Well, what was up? So now you done throw it out there.
I didn't know that's what I was doing, but okay.
Yeah.
it was cool. It was good. It was the best date that I've been on in a long time, other than, you know, the last like relationship that I was in. Like, cause I was thinking about it, I'm like, I really just enjoyed myself. Cause I went on 2 dates shortly before Micah was born in March. And if you recall, I did not enjoy either of them. Because one of the people was like, his breath smelled like liquor and was like taking shots on the, and it was like noon. And I was like, you know, I'm not really big into drinking. So I was just like, that was an extreme turn off. And then was like, yeah, so you want a kiss? I don't want a kiss, actually. I don't want that
hilarious.
At all. I don't. And then another one, I went out with this lawyer and was just like super intense and just like making everything like a big, like, discussion of, like, serious topics. And I'm like, this is the first day. Like, I don't really want to get into any of this. So it was just, like, seemed too much. And then I, but those were both before Micah. And then I went on a date recently with somebody, but it was during the school day, so I didn't have to get a sitter because we went to lunch. And they had clearly lied about their age, clearly lied about their height. And I was just, like, not really feeling that. So this was my first good date all year, and it's October.
Wow, wow.
And I was thinking back, and I'm like, the last time I had, like, a good date other than my last real relationship was probably, like, 4 years ago. So I was just, so it was good. Now, we can talk about this. So I said this to you, and you didn't tell me your reaction to it. You just sent a face. So now I'm going to make you say your verbal reaction because I have you cornered. So we had a good time. We were really vibing well. We basically went to this adult arcade and we're like playing arcade mm-hmm. games, whatever. And I'm sure like people are probably on the first date trying to choose something a lot of like these days trying to get something more casual, like low stakes, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I got like a cider and this person had 2 beers and that was all that was purchased because all the arcade games were free. Mm-hmm. And typically I wouldn't care how much is spent on a first date, except for the fact that I had to pay for that babysitter. And so I'm like, I gotta pay $50-$60 for a babysitter plus parking. And so I'm like, now I've invested all of this in this for this low stakes situation. And I felt some type of way because I feel like it was unequal and I didn't like that. And you didn't say, you didn't give me any kind of reaction. So I did, that put me in my feelings. That put me in my feelings because I was like, I should have at least got a dinner when I got to pay for this babysitter. Because I've thought about this. I've seen like on social media where women posting like, yo, like if you're going to make me get a baby, like are you going to pay for my babysitter like for these dates when men asking out? And I've never been in a situation where that really, you know, was a consideration in my mind. And I did think about it beforehand. He was like, hey, can we go to this arcade? And I was like, oh, well, if I can get a babysitter, you can. We can. And so I did. Somebody who is known and trusted. And so I was like, oh, great. So at first, I was just really feeling good about the fact that I even found somebody that I trusted. So I was able to feel comfortable enough to go out. But then when we got there and there was like the situation, I realized that all of the arcade games were free. I was like, yo, like, I invested money in this. And I feel some
what
type face of way.
Did I, what emoji did I put up?
You put like a sad remember. Face, like a head, oh, like bowed yeah, down, sad, about sad face or something.
Yeah, sad about you spending money. That's what I put the sad face for. But here's the thing. So in grad school, one of my favorite classes was negotiations. And I'm always big on like the art of negotiation. You search for a win-win. And so win-win is you find a friend who will babysit Michael for free. And then he doesn't have to worry about paying for the babysitter. He doesn't have to pay for a fancy meal because it's y'all first date and y'all go where y'all went this time. That's a
okay,
win-win.
Hold on. Actually, you can keep talking. Just, yeah.
No, that was it. That's a win-win to me. Y'all both, you know, you didn't really spend big bucks on a babysitter. You got a friend who didn't mind watching Micah. Quiet.
I heard Micah fussing, which is why I actually initially said home, and I was like, I wasn't the one talking, so I really didn't have to say
home. Gotcha.
But here's why that's not gonna work. So first of all, he asked me out. Well, in this case, it's a different situation because he asked me on Wednesday night, and then I saw the message Thursday morning for Thursday night. So like I had to get somebody that day. But in general, I don't live close to anybody. Everybody I know is like an hour and 20 minutes away at least. So who is going to then drive here to babysit for free like so that I can go on a date? That doesn't exist. I don't live close. I live close enough. Me coming back to North Carolina, I now live close enough to, you know, be in communities where I can hang out with friends every now and again. Like me and my friend recently got together on National Sons Day and we went to the Big Bounce and we like, it was a Big Bounce house. We took the boys, whatever. But I drove an hour to get there to hang out, which is fine to do for like socializing. But for somebody to be willing to drive an hour, and that wasn't in a town that either of us lived in. So it was an hour drive for me, a 30-minute drive for them. Somebody to drive an hour and 10 minutes to get here and babysit for free. Like, who? And on a Thursday night.
Now, this person, he lives close to you?
And 30 minutes away. So.
Okay.
And that's an additional 30 minutes, like, in the opposite direction of where my friends are.
So, maybe Michael should have joined y'all.
Wow.
Maybe Michael should have.
But am I wrong for feeling some type of way? That's the question.
No, you're not wrong for that. I mean, who wants, you lose money like that, and it's based on a prospect, a possibility, then you're not wrong. But what if this is the one, though? That $50, you're not.
Well, then take me to dinner next time, darn it.
Well, you throw that out there, you know, so at least you... If I'm paying for a babysitter, you know, I should go to a really nice place. I mean, nowadays, I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say is, the way we are now, I would have thought that he probably would. But I do get the first date. Let's kind of, you know, go low.
Yeah, and it's not that I wanted like a nice thing per se. It's just that because like going to the arcade is fine. I just didn't know that all the games were going to be free, and so then I just felt kind of like just an imbalance, and it felt unfair to me.
That brother sounds smart though to me. That sounds like a smart brother.
I mean, that was his first time going there, so I don't know if he knew that the games were free or not.
I'm playing. I don't know.
But I'm kind of like, yo, like next time. And the other thing was, so then at a point in the date, he was like, "Oh, so when you're parking," he was like, "when your parking expires, we should, you know, move your car because I know where you can get a free parking spot or whatever." And I said, "When my parking expires, I would like to go home because I'm paying for the babysitter and I'm not staying any longer or whatever." And he was like, "Oh, like how much is it?" And to me too, I feel like I'm going to look so bad. But if it was me, I feel like I would have sent them a cash out for the babysitter, for real. If it was me. The roles were reversed. Because I'm like, after you just told me that, yeah, no. I would have. Yeah.
And that's that line of what you're obligated to do and what's a courtesy.
No, you're not obligated. I'm just saying what I would have done if the roles were reversed.
And I think some would. But I guess I put that out there to say I won't condemn, you know, the person who didn't choose to pay.
Right? And they're not condemned. They're not condemned because let me say this. He doesn't know that I'm in my feelings. You know, and everybody listening knows. But when I'm meeting somebody online, I have a rule that I do not give out my phone number until after the date so I can see if I like you.
That's smart.
Yeah. Like, I know somebody who's telling me she blocking everybody. I'm blocking. And she blocking. I say, you know, if you were a little less generous with giving out your phone number, you would have to block all these people.
That's right.
And I had a guy tell me at some point, like, why don't you just block people? I said, first of all, I don't have to block you if you don't have a number. Second of all, somebody could still reach you using a different phone number if you block that number. And the other thing is,
stalkers,
that's my third point. If you have somebody's phone number that is, like, you can look up and see who is the first and last name of the person that phone number is associated with. Once you know that, you can find out where they live. You can find out where they work. Like, if I have not felt you out, when you're coming from the unknown internet, I'm not giving you my phone number. So I say all of that to say, after the date, I gave him my phone number because I liked him. So, like, and now we're continued talking. And, like, we'll see where it goes. So he doesn't know that I'm in my feelings, but I'm in my feelings. Because I'm like, yeah. It just felt unfair.
But see, everything is about perception. And so, like, you look at the roses and not the thorns. And so when I'm on the road and someone cut me off, I don't scream and, you know, throw that finger that's somewhere placed in the middle of your hand. I don't do that because what I tell myself is, wow, maybe they have an emergency. Maybe, you know, something's on the line and they just have to meet this, be at a certain place, and they're just, maybe they're going through something and they're not thinking. Everything's about perception. When you look at it that way, it's a lot easier to swallow that pill. So
I want a dinner next time. And I'm not paying for no babysitter. I'm bringing the baby. So we can get evened out. I'm gonna not buy no babysitter. I'm bringing the baby, and you gonna pay the equal amount of how much I spent on the babysitter on the first time, and then we're even.
Yeah. Poor Micah.
Where is it, poor Micah? That means he's gonna eat some French fries or something at the restaurant.
Hey, I'm happy for you though. That is so awesome. More to come on that, man. You keep us posted. Now we're gonna. Well, I already told y'all that I'm starting to write the script.
Oh my goodness! not the script.
Hey, we're winding down, so I'm gonna say thank you for telling me to check out Ruth and Boaz on Netflix too.
Yeah, it was definitely a cute little love story. I don't feel like we have enough black romance films. I don't.
Yeah, that's always been the case.
Especially not good ones.
Yeah. And that one was biblical. And like I was telling you earlier, I just thought it was by coincidence that the character's name were Ruth and Boaz. And then in the very beginning, when they introduced Naomi, I said, oh, wow, okay. They're reimagining the book of Ruth. I thought
it was one who told me that it was a biblical reference because I did not know that at all. So I just thought it was a cute movie.
Well, it was that, too. It was that, too. But I don't want to do a whole lot of spoiler alerts on it, but I really just loved how they modernized the movie and the ending, and everything was just on point. I think it's, who is it, Devin Franklin, Tyler Perry, the producers. It's pretty cool.
So can you just tell us a little briefly what is the biblical version of the story?
Well, it's very, very similar to the movie. Ruth is, well, in the biblical story, they're actually married. And Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. And so when she loses, and there are two sons. Now, that was the thing I didn't get. They referenced two sons in the movie, but I didn't catch or hear that the other son had died too, but they left.
You're supposed to just be telling us the biblical story. You said no spoilers for the movie.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Tell us the biblical story.
Well, the biblical story is that they leave Judah, go to Moab, and Ruth is a Moabite. Is it Orpah is the other. So the two sons married two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And the two sons and the father, all three of them die. Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem. And Ruth says, very similar to the movie, you know, where you go, I go, where you lodge, I lodge, your people, my people, your God should be my God. I mean, that's just, and she does very similar what you see in the movie. She's just really, she's there for her. And Boaz in the biblical story, Boaz is actually a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. Boaz, Naomi tells Ruth, I'm going through this, so people are going to really basically know what the movie's about, but Ruth really encourages, Naomi really encourages Ruth to, and I'm going to just shorten it up, marry Boaz. He's what you would call her redeemer because that to continue the bloodline, and he's related to Naomi, he can basically marry her and continue on their family bloodline. What a lot of people don't know, Boaz and Ruth, they have a child, and that child is King David's grandfather. So it's a very important piece in that book that's often overlooked. So how does that, when you hear that versus the movie, what do you think?
I mean, I can hear the parallels. I don't remember her mentioning a second son in the movie, actually, but you oftentimes notice things that I don't necessarily notice. So I'm not going to say you were wrong, but I did not catch that part but the theme of just like somebody being their redeemer and like being encouraged to explore that, you know, and that those parallels I see for sure. And you know, the relationship between the daughter and the mom-in-law.
Yeah. And it was, I love, and I keep saying I'm not going to talk about the movie part of it.
Well, can I just ask? I mean, people can just pause this. Okay, how about this? If you have not watched Ruth and Boaz, pause this, watch Ruth and Boaz, and then come back and finish the thing. Like, they could just, they could just, but so let me ask you this. So there, because I'm about to say, it's probably not a spoiler if you watch the trailer, because I don't think I'm saying anything that deep, but there was a heavy musical component in the movie. Mm-hmm. Is that in the biblical story?
No.
Like, is she, okay, so Ruth is not a singer in the Bible, okay.
No.
Okay. That was kind of a big part of the story.
Well, they had to kind of, so if you look at, there was a sacrifice, right? So in the biblical story, Ruth's sacrifice was leaving everything behind and Moab. And in this version, they had to give, what is she losing? You know, her career, her musical career was a big deal. So they had to show that she was giving something up to be with Naomi.
Okay. Let me ask you another spoiler question. So pause this if you haven't watched the movie. And it's not long, it's like an hour and a half, so it's easy to go watch it. Or if you don't care and you're never going to watch it anyway, then keep listening. Is there an antagonist in the biblical story?
No.
Okay. And that probably wasn't really that big of a spoiler. So.
Yeah, that was for the drama. You know, you have to... We all know how it is in
Tyler Perry movies
and everything. Oh. we know. Well, I think in general, you need conflict in a movie, whether it's man versus man, man versus nature, right? You need
grief conflict. Is conflict.
Yeah, but it's
only, maybe conflict is not. Yeah, you're not going to work.
Yeah, you can't film them grieving for an hour and 30 minutes, really.
It's a trial and a tribulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that was really foreign to the biblical story, but I thought it was a good touch. I thought it was.
I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I did too, so y'all have to check it out.
Yeah.
Please.
And let's see if Tyler Perry Studios wants to run a little advertisement dollars, since we got everybody coming to watch that movie. So, yeah, run us a sponsorship.
That would be great. Boy, that would be great. All right, TP, come on now.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah. Now, when we come back to you, I'm going to have Jasmine Westbrook's Figaro on, and she is phenomenal. She's a dietitian, nutritionist. She's been all over the country just really just sharing this information about healthy eating, smart choices, living longer, feeling better. And there's a concentration on diabetes and in people of color.
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com. to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
Beautiful people, welcome back. And today, I've got a very special guest with me, registered dietitian Jasmine Westbrooks Figaro. And her bio, y'all, when I tell you, I'll just say it's impeccable. So I know I won't do her justice. So I'll just touch on a few things real quickly. Jasmine is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and certified diabetes care and education specialist. And she's based in Raleigh, North Carolina. and she earned her Bachelor of Science in Nutrition Dietetics from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga and a Master's in Nutrition Education from Rosalind Franklin University in Chicago. Jasmine's also co-founded Eat Well Exchange Incorporated, a 501c3 nonprofit, and she's also the CEO of Nourish Through Nutrition. I like that name, where she leverages her expertise as a media dietitian. And she's been featured in prominent local and national media outlets, including Today's Dietitian, WFLA Tampa, CBS 17 Raleigh Durham, NBC Miami, Real Simple, Self, and Essence Magazine. And her influence in the field was further recognized when she was named one of the 40 Black dietitians, nutritionists, chefs, and food influencers to know and love by loseit.com. Man, what I tell y'all. So please welcome to the Unknown Preacher, LA, Jasmine Westbrooks Figaro. How are you, Jasmine?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am great, man. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited about this.
Yes, me too. I'm excited for the questions and the conversation we're going to have today as well. So thanks for having me.
Oh, amen. Amen. So we will jump right in because, you know, there's so much information now out there. We have TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and it feels like every day there's this new miracle diet or superfood. So what's the biggest myth about healthy eating that you find yourself correcting most often?
Oh my gosh, I can tell you so many myths. I know we don't have time for all of them. But I will definitely say one that really just makes my skin crawl, honestly, is one where we're assuming that if we eliminate all or most carbohydrates from our diet, that this is the miracle diet. It's going to work. We're going to do it forever. Mm-hmm. And we're going to yield the most benefits, which that is not true at all, because carbohydrates actually do have many benefits. Mm-hmm. I think the problem that we see oftentimes is the portion size, number one.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're not eating carbohydrate foods that also have that complementary fiber component to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important, because just eating carbohydrates without fiber is not going to be the best if it's consistently all the time. And what I mean by carbs with fiber, think about fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit has fiber. Fruit has carbohydrates. Carbohydrates give you that energy you need. It keeps your brain alert.
Yes.
It helps with reducing cholesterol, and it helps maintain very good blood sugars too throughout the day, so your blood sugars won't fall too low, whether you have diabetes or not. So I can go on and on about it, but that's one that I see mostly that I feel like needs to be corrected.
Man, that is a great answer, and it makes sense. I'm laughing because I'm going to ask you this, but I'm a little guilty, but not much on it. I'll talk about it after I ask, because you just touched on some of the trends when you talked about carbs like keto and carnivore juicing. I have a friend who he does that and detoxes. So how can someone know if a diet trend they see on social media is actually, you know, safe, or is as I don't know if I want to say if the hype is real or as effective as they push it out to be?
Exactly. I think it starts with the source. Mm-hmm. You know, the nutrition field, quote unquote, is very saturated with a lot of misinformation.
Yes. Yes.
And so I think it's important to check who the source is. I can tell you, like in the Black community, if I'm honest, most people don't know what a registered dietitian is. They don't know the extent of education and work that we do. Yes. Most people assume that, oh, you're a dietitian, you write diets. Not necessarily. That's not what my main job is. And I'm sure we'll get to that. But we are the expertise, or we are a credentialed professional. Mm-hmm. So just like a doctor, a nurse, you know, a social worker, a PT or physical therapist, just like their credential, so are we in the food and nutrition space. And we've had to earn those credentials through lots of school and lots of training, like in-person training. And also we have to pass a national exam that most people don't pass. And so it is important to know who's putting out the information. Is it sponsored by certain people? And not to say that every, you know, diet or product is sponsored by somebody, that it's a bad thing, because I've worked with brands myself that I truly personally support. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to know who is the source. And second, I'll say, is it a quick fix? You know, is it extreme, like, restrictions? Is this something that you can see yourself next year not being on, you know, then it probably is going to be just a diet trend. Now, there is research, though, to show that whenever you're on consistently these diets back to back, you know, this diet in August, by November, you're on another diet. By January, because it's the new year, on another diet. That can actually increase your risk for heart disease.
Yes.
It can impact your metabolism in a negative way. Mm-hmm. It can increase your risk for diabetes. And so it's very important to have a realistic plan. Yeah. Maybe even your own diet that you created that's right for you based on your lifestyle right now. The 20-year-old Jasmine had different nutritional needs than now the almost 40-year-old Jasmine, if you know what I'm saying.
To that.
So it's important to make sure that it's sustainable. Mm. It's something that you can do long-term, more than a couple of years, and it's balanced. It includes, you know, majority of all your food groups, because our body needs complex nutrients. Yeah. So don't believe in the hype, y'all, all the time, okay?
I absolutely love your answers. And now let me ask you this. Is there anything else to add to the credentials when you said that many people don't know what it means to be a dietitian? Anything else you want to add? You talked about the education, the in-person classes, the exam. Anything else you want to add to that? Or
yeah,
I just want to make certain we give you credit you deserve for this.
Yes, I will add, because a dietitian, basically my training looked like this. I went to a university, got a 4-year degree in nutrition and dietetics. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I went to get my master's in nutrition education. I then applied for a dietetic internship, which is, by the way, an unpaid internship for almost a year. And throughout that internship, what we do is we go into different communities, go into different facilities, like the hospital is our clinical rotation, kind of like a nurse or a med student would, where we would go around and we would have our own patients. And we would actually do training under other dietitians in the hospital, in food service, and then in the community. And so after we develop all these hours, for that particular rotation or that particular profession, we then take a test. And that's a standardized test that we take that goes over all the elements and things that we learn from each facility, each area of nutrition. Registered dietitians come in many different scopes, just like if you were to go to a doctor, right? You have your primary doctor, but then you have doctors that have specialties. So you may have a cardiologist or you may have a kidney doctor, right? Same thing with being a dietitian. You have certain dietitians that have certain specialties or expertise. For me, my expertise, if you see my name in that very long credential at the end, that stands for Certified Diabetes Educator or Certified Diabetes Education and Care Specialist. And what that means is I have a specialty in diabetes. And so I have taken an extra exam and gotten additional training to educate people about how to monitor and manage their diabetes so we avoid complications, or if there's already complications that have set in, like heart disease or kidney disease, that we get them to a point where they can live a sustainable life with those medical conditions. Yeah. And then also we prevent diabetes. So our goal is to prevent. And what that looks like for me is teaching. Yeah. So in corporate America, when I had my job in corporate America, I would teach the diabetes education classes. Mm-hmm. And it was about nutrition. It was about all kinds of things related to diabetes in general. So registered dietitians are very diverse in yeah. our fields, and we can really, you know, help you find out what is the best way for you to eat based on your preference.
Man, your specialty is so needed. I really like that. And as my mom would say, in other words, you know your stuff, right? So you know your stuff. I appreciate that. So, and I was thinking about, I don't know if you've seen this, Jasmine, but lately, maybe in the last 2 weeks, there's this video, and some people say it was AI, but it's this police officer who's like 300 pounds, and he's drinking some supplements, and then he's like down to like 190, yeah. and they show this transformation. Have you seen that?
I have not. I learn something new all the time.
Oh, they've been tearing him. See, what I do, and all my friends laugh at me, but I love looking at the comments, because yeah. sometimes it's comical, sometimes it's informative, but everyone was like, oh, this AI. And so what I did some of my own research on the company. I'm not going to say their name for obvious reasons, but it didn't seem as legitimate as they posted. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that.
Yes.
But yeah, so, but speaking of which, you know, we're talking about diet, but also some people, they diet to lose weight, but mm-hmm. really also too, they want to live longer, feel better, have energy. So what would you say are the foundations of truly sustainable diet, not just for weight loss, but for long-term health overall?
Yes, that's a very good question. I mean, the foundation to me is just to set up a sustainable plate, you know, mm-hmm. having a foundation of your eating habits mm-hmm. represent a variety of fruits and vegetables, a variety of lean proteins, whether it's plant or animal proteins, mm-hmm. Having a source of whole grains too, you know, not to say not to eat grains that aren't whole, but how can majority of your eating reflect whole grains, meaning it has a fiber naturally in it that you're actually consuming. I also think too, food is more than nutrients, if I'm mm-hmm. honest. I'm African-American. I grew up in the South, originally from Memphis, Tennessee. And so I know that food is more than just, oh, it's healthy for you. My yeah. dad can tell you that. He'll be like, all right, go over there with your dietitian self. You know, you're about to eat these pork chops or whatever. So I think food, it's important in our diets to also have foods that are culturally relevant to us. Yeah. And that can bring a little comfort in foods that oftentimes identify who we are, because oftentimes our favorite food is food mm-hmm. that there's a memory for a situation, or reminds you of a person or an experience. So we're not saying to take out those foods, even if they're not the most nutritious for you, but it's about how can you add them in, but with most of your diet being full of nutrients. And I think people actually be surprised by a lot of cultural foods in the African diaspora are actually very healthy for us. And they count as being a part of the whole grains. They count as being part of the lean proteins and the vegetables. And then moderation than just restriction. Like, your moderation meter can be whatever it needs to be. You know your personal journey with certain foods. Cutting back on sweet potato pie this Thanksgiving may look different than if your friend cut back on sweet potato pie, right? Yeah. How dare I say pumpkin pie, but you know, you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to understand what are your limits? What do you as a person need to work on and decrease or add to? Because a lot of times it's not about subtracting from the plate. What I see from many people, they actually need to add certain foods to their plate instead. Mm. And so changing that mindset around, I need to take away, because that's not always the case. And then I think last, and this has come up for me just because I'm a busy professional, is adapting to the life changes. You know, I just got married like a little bit over a year ago.
Oh, congrats. So yeah.
Thank you. And with that transition, that's a life transition.
Yes.
And so you have to understand, how can you be flexible with your eating patterns throughout life changes and life transitions, even through like your budget and availability? Because if we're honest, most people think that healthy food is expensive. But when we really break it down on what are some of the most budget-friendly foods, they are healthy foods, and they're whole foods. And they were actually foods that our grandparents knew exactly what they were doing, like beans, like grains, like vegetables that may not necessarily be fresh, but maybe they are canned or maybe they're frozen. Mm-hmm. That is important to implement into like truly having a sustainable diet.
Boy, this is great. I'm taking notes, just so you know. So, but I'm trying to get you to give me a pass. So, I haven't had a slice of cake since June. And wow. So what I heard is that I can probably get a little piece of slice of cake.
And even with going into having that slice of cake, right? I think mentally it's important to prepare yourself and say, hey, I'm going to have this slice. I'm going to taste it. I'm going to take in all of the taste, right? And I'm going to enjoy that piece. And you may even find yourself eating less because you're satisfied from having just half. Yeah. And being okay with that and moving on. You know, I think sometimes when people, like you say, in your situation, you don't have a piece of cake. I think some people, they get so riled up about it. And then they're like, I'm never going to have this slice again. And you have to stop telling ourselves that. Because then what does that lead to? That leads to you having not only one piece, but now you put two pieces in your basket. And now you find yourself with a whole cake at home. And it's like, how did that happen? It's because we have trained our mind to like, it's all or nothing. And that's not the case. You know, enjoy that piece of cake and move on.
Boy, I got some friends who are going to say, see, I told you. I'm going to go on and name them, you know, Sherry and Whitney and my wife. It's going to go on and on about, like I told you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you. We're talking about diet, but how does stress and sleep and other habits also come into play with all this?
Yeah, I'm so glad you're mentioning this question, because when it comes to like having a healthy lifestyle, it's not just about food as much as we make it to be. Because you can be eating the most perfect diet, right? Laid out plan based on all the recommendation of a balanced meal. Mm-hmm. But if you're stressed out, your blood sugars are still going to go up. Your cravings are still going to come. And I'm not talking about just real cravings. I'm talking about like intense cravings because you're stressed or you didn't get enough sleep. So it is so important to look at other elements of whole wellness. And usually when I meet with clients or if I'm going to speak, those are things that I bring up, because the stress, the sleep, the lifestyle that we live are what we consider like some of the behavioral components of living a healthy lifestyle. And so it's important for us to do a deep assessment of what that looks like. Am I stressed out? Where is chronic stress? And, you know, chronic stress releases that cortisol hormone. Their hormone is what initiates the cravings.
Yes.
And then even if you act on the cravings or not, guess what? Your blood sugars still go up. And if your blood sugars are going up consistently over 5 years because you have chronic stress, now you're in the doctor's office because now they say you have prediabetes, right? And it's leaning into diabetes. So I think stress management, finding ways to relieve stress, if you can control some elements of stress. And then if you can't, what are ways that you can manage it? We are the type of people in this country that sit behind the desk all day. Yeah. Or we're at home all day if we work from home, right? Yeah. And guilty, right? Because we get so bogged down. Like I was just telling you earlier, I had meetings today.
Me too.
Right? So it's easy to get caught up in, got to get this done, got to get this done. But when's the last time you went outside and looked at the trees and smelled the air? When's the last time the sun hit your skin, right? And gave you that radiant, like, vitamin D that you need? When's the last time that you enjoyed social connection with somebody that you truly care about, whether it's friends or a partner? those are the types of things that we have to take in, because that helps reduce stress. Now, sleep, on the other hand, as a busy professional and entrepreneur, I understand. But I also know that if you get less than 7 hours of sleep a night consistently, you are more likely to die from a chronic condition. And there's a connection with lack of sleep and dementia and Alzheimer's. So we have to figure out ways to get more sleep. About 7 to 9 hours are recommended. And if it's hard for you to go to sleep, think about what are the things around you that's a distraction. Are we on our phones? In the bed with our phones, right? What are we doing? Are we, eating like very high carb, high fatty foods that's preventing us from sleeping well? Those are the type of things that we need to think about.
This is real good. And I can tell you just personally on my end, I want 7+ hours. Like you just said, our busy schedules, it makes it almost impossible. Six is really good for me, but I have been working on it. So I've been able lately because I've been exposed to some of that research and I'm like, okay, I got to be more deliberate. So I'm getting closer to 7. I'm going to keep working on it. So thank you for sharing that with our listeners too.
Absolutely. And can I add one more thing? Yeah. I don't know why this thought is just kind of like protruding for me. It's the boundaries too, you know? I think as Black people, sometimes we assume that we have to do all the things and meet the needs of everybody else, right? Wow. And I think that if we kind of take that, again, that self-assessment, what would it look like if you had an assessment every quarter for yourself? Just like business meetings, they have assessments and meetings and board meetings every quarter. What would it look like if you asked yourself, are there boundaries that I need to place with people, with things, with myself, right? And kind of figure out what would come up for that. Like what kind of things will come up for you? And I am an advocate for therapy.
Yeah, I'm ill, which is good.
Yes. So I just want to throw that out there too for some people who feel like, oh, I've tried all those things. Maybe doing an assessment of what boundaries do you need to put up in order to take care of yourself? Because a lot of times we put other people before we put ourselves first.
Yeah. That's touching and so true. And you mentioned this, that, we're Black. And for the listeners who don't know, I'm a Black man. But you mentioned something and I wanted to talk about, because the truth is a lot of our listeners are African-American and we know our community. What you just touched on, the higher rates of diabetes, high blood pressure, and even I just found this out, lactose intolerance, it's up there too. Are there certain diets or eating patterns that might be more suited for us?
That's a very good question. I would say yes and no. And let me tell you why. Just because, even in my training as a dietitian, they would like rank different eating patterns, which is the best for the typical American, et cetera. And all the time, what will bring up, like what would actually come up would be Mediterranean, right?
Yes.
Mediterranean diet is the go-to. It's going to save your life, all those things. When the Mediterranean diet is marketed, to the public, oftentimes our cultural foods, I mean, foods from the African diaspora that are actually very
virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bag stuff full of grub. These are the things that the Black farmers have. Ooh, ooh. Turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herb soup, cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farm.
Can I just write? It's more than poetry. It's a soul exposed, a breath exhaled, a mirror held to the beauty and the struggle of living, loving, hurting, and healing. Written by best-selling author J. DeWayne Garnett, this deeply personal, spiritually grounded journey gives voice to the emotions we often silence, from grief and injustice to fatherhood, faith, and resilience. Each poem is a release, a revelation, not written to impress, but to connect. This isn't a performance. This is permission to feel, to speak, to write. Read it in stillness. Speak it aloud. Let, can I just write, stir your spirit, affirm your worth, and remind you, your story matters. Order now at loveisaparable.com or Amazon.
Eating pattern. So then what does that make us feel like? That makes it feel like if I ate some collards, oh, that's not Mediterranean. I don't need to eat those collards, yeah. Which is so far from the truth. And so I pause to answer that question in a way where it's like, oh, there's one particular diet. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to the foundation of the assessment. What do you feel like on your plate or in your diet you're not getting enough of? If you know that you haven't had a cup of green beans in a week, you know, yeah. Or a cup of collards or some type of leafy green or some type of vegetable in a week, that may be where you need to start. So, of course, if you look at the Mediterranean diet, you can use it as a base, but just know that there are foods from other cultures that may not be reflected in it, but it doesn't mean that it's not a part of it. And it is. The Mediterranean diet, typically what it does, it says that, you know, most of our eating should be from fruits, vegetables, whole grains, seafood, beans, yeah. Nuts and seeds, right? Yeah. And then all the other foods kind of fall behind it, whether it's dairy, whether it's chicken even. Mm-hmm. Certain sources of beef or pork should follow behind it. So I think you have to figure out what's best for you. What do you have availability from? Some people won't have availability of seafood in their local grocery store all the time or be able to afford it. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Afford it all the time. So think about, okay, if I'm not getting seafood in my diet consistently, what other protein can I actually afford that my family will like and we enjoy? It could be beans. It can be, it's about to get cold soon. It can be chili that you can incorporate beans. You can make mm-hmm. bean burritos. There's just so many endless things that you can create with beans. And guess what? Beans are so affordable. Like, yes, you can feed an army with beans, trust me. But I think those are the types of things we want to look for. Like, what are some alternates based on availability, based on budget, and based on like what you and the entire family may actually like? I will tell you though, mm-hmm. from what I've seen, and there's some research statistics to show this, that about 80% of people in this country do not eat enough vegetables and fruit.
Yeah.
They just don't. So assessing, going back to the assessment, when's the last time you had these things? What are the recommendations? Which is actually usually about 2 to 3 servings for mm-hmm. each fruit in each vegetable group, you know, and servings can look like a cup or a half a cup of each of these. What I usually like to do in my presentations too, Alonzo, is I'll give a picture of what a typical serving size of fruit and vegetable looks like. And people will be like, what? I get that once a week. So I think I'm more of a visual person. I think it helps people to see, you know, like what that serving looks like and then work towards getting that amount daily if you can.
Wow, this is some good stuff. Let me see what I can remember and unpack some of the. I heard you mention collard greens, and you know what's funny, because I think I know you're gonna say it's not really the collard greens, it's what you're using to season them, right? Is that something like, because they're good for you, but I have shied away because especially at restaurants, you know, you ask and very few will season them correct. Like, it's always, yes, you know, pork, so I stay away from them. But I love collard greens other than that. So, but yeah, so you, I love how you just figured out, you told us how we can insert the our traditional foods and make them healthier. So that's good. Now, what about pizza, man? And like, because, you know, I'm thinking like the cheese and dairy and all that, you know, and we talked about African-Americans being lactose intolerant. So is there truth to that? And what can I do to enjoy a slice of pizza? Is there anything I can do?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's break it down, because, you know, lactose intolerance. First, let me just say this. Dairy has a lot of nutrients, right? Whether it's milk, whether it is cheese or yogurt. You know, you pick which one that you prefer. I meet tons of people that say, I'm not drinking milk. Okay, that's fine. Would you prefer to drink or eat dairy or cheese? If so, great. We go over how to implement that, especially if you aren't having signs of lactose intolerance. And then if you choose still not to, you know, food with a dairy group at all, that's fine too. But we can't just say, I'm not going to have it and not replace the nutrients that it provides, you know, with other foods. And I think that is where sometimes the miseducation is, because then you become deficient, right? In calcium, and you become deficient and vitamin D, because you're not eating a well-balanced diet that has all those other minerals and vitamins in them that can, in a sense, supplement you not eating or consuming any type of dairy. But the truth is, yeah, you're right. 80% of the Black community experience like lactose intolerance symptoms or are diagnosed. I think it's very important, though, because I know our culture very well. What will happen is, let's say you have a child that is lactose intolerant, but you have a child that isn't. And then maybe that child sees their sibling. Oh, they have lactose intolerance. I have it, too. You know, we self-diagnose at a very early age. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important to consider, too. Are we self-diagnosing or is this a true diagnose? Because sometimes it's just that our bodies can't like halfway break down which is the lactose sugar. That's what lactose intolerance is. You cannot break down the lactose sugar that's in milk. And so because of that, now they've created where you can have milk, but it's lactate, meaning it doesn't have that lactose sugar in it. And you find that more people are able to digest the milk if it's like a lactose-free milk. So I would say try to figure out if there is a lactose-free dairy product that you could, you know, eat or drink. And then also consider, you know, if you like milk, if you like dairy milk, maybe drink 4 ounces of it and then see how your body does. So it sometimes it's just a little bit at a time. Yogurt and cheese have less lactose sugar in it. And so that's why most people with lactose intolerance, they are able to tolerate yogurt and cheese a little bit better. But then if you decide, okay, I'm not fooling with that dairy group at all, again, your personal choice.
Yes.
I think it's important to eat those calcium and vitamin D rich foods. Like vitamin D is in mushrooms. I love mushrooms personally.
I love mushrooms too.
Yes, like portobello mushrooms, white button mushrooms. You also get vitamin D in like fish, like sardines. Yes. Some people turn their eyes.
I love sardines.
Me too. Grew up on them. Yeah. That was sometimes a meal in my grandparents' house, right? Sardines and paired with a vegetable, you're good to go.
Yes.
Mackerel is another one. Tuna, egg yolks, all these have vitamin D. And then making sure that you get that sunlight exposure, especially for us with darker complexion. It may mean we need to be in the sun a little bit longer than our, you know, lighter complexion friends, right? So making sure that you get those sources of vitamin D daily, even a supplement if you need to, because vitamin D deficiency is linked to type 2 diabetes and high blood sugars. So it's important for you to have vitamin D to help maintain your blood sugars. And then you have calcium foods like almonds or chia seeds. Flaxseed is another good one that's easy to add in. Figs, I think they're actually in season right now. White beans, black-eyed peas. You have products that are fortified with calcium and vitamin D. So you have like orange juice is fortified, certain cereals too. But I always bring people back to, you know, the whole foods that I just named before, yeah, versus always going to the fortified versions of processed food that have the vitamins in them. So if you can get those in your diet, you're for the most part covered. And see a dietitian. Like, it would be very ignorant of me to say, you know, to say all this and not consider seeing a dietitian to know what your needs are and if you're meeting those needs. Yeah. Just like you all see a doctor when, you know, when you're hurting or you feel sick or you have a checkup, you know, everybody should be getting that 6-month checkup. See a dietitian at least once a year. And the cool part is most insurances will cover you to see a dietitian for a few hours a year. It's actually called medical nutrition therapy. If you were to call your insurance today, you would ask them, you know, how many hours are you all covering for medical nutrition therapy for me to see a dietitian? So I did want to throw that out there for people who want a more personalized experience about what their needs are.
Yeah, these are some great answers. And I can tell you it's a lot of good information. I didn't know the link about the vitamin D deficiency and type 2 diabetes. And wow, that's an eye opener. I have friends now listening like he's about to go overboard, because I'm working on it. But thank you. And so it's practical. But so let me ask you this. If someone is listening and they're overwhelmed by all of this information and they don't really know where to start, what's one small change they can make today that would have the biggest impact?
That is a good question. What's one small change?
You see how I was intentional with it.
Yes, yes. You know what, though? We are actually, so my organization, a nonprofit organization, Eat Well Exchange, and even the LLC that I have, Nourishing Nutrition, we thrive off of meeting people where they are. We're not the type of people that's like, here's a meal plan, follow all this and go about your way. So I think it's important to honestly start with where you are.
Yeah.
Think about, again, that self-assessment. Am I eating enough vegetables? How about even this? Start from an assessment of behavior. Do I skip meals? Am I drinking enough water?
Yes.
You know, am I overeating when I'm full, but I'm still eating from that plate? Like, those are the small digestible things that you could do. So based on what I know about most people, I would say, how can you add one more vegetable to your diet? You know, are your vegetable selections representative of the colors of the rainbow? Wow. And how can you add one more? How can you add one more?
I like that. I really like that. This is good. So, and it's very helpful. You hit on some important things. Access.
Yes.
Because we talk about choosing the right food. You just mentioned the rainbow colors. Man, I like that a lot. But everywhere you go, you see all these fast food spots and corner stores. But in some communities, it's hard to find fresh produce. And so, yeah. How can those communities advocate for better access to fresh and affordable foods?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a very good question. It's oftentimes a question that we can't sit up here and ignore, right?
Yeah,
It's because we know that a lot of us in this country are food insecure, not by choice, but because that's what we've been either birthed in or that's just exposure. And I would love to really kind of put a definition to food access, what that looks like, because a lot of times what people will say is, oh, I'm not food insecure, but but they go to grandma's house to eat and they depend on that meal at grandma's house to eat. That's food insecure. Food access means that you have the capacity to have balanced meals, a variety of nutrients in a socially respective way. You're not going through the trash to get food. You're not going to people's houses depending on food. That is true food access. Like, it is in front of you. You can take it and you can use it to better your health, because we all need food. That's like our basic need, food and water. Unfortunately, in this country, a lot of people are in food insecure, or we call them food apartheid environments. Even people that you would think that are not, like, just from looking at them, oh, they're not food insecure because of maybe race, ethnicity, et cetera. But they could be based on where they are, because we know the further you are from the grocery store that has fresh, affordable variety of foods, the more likely you are to develop diseases.
Mm.
Right. So it's like that particular measurement or statistic is crazy to think about. So how do we advocate, you know, to get more food? I would say look up your local farmers, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially here in Raleigh. One of the initiatives that we have with Eat Well Exchange is food access. And we host gardening classes. We host free farmers markets where we pop up in the community and we label out different produce by color, and we educate people about the color of the produce, and then they take food that they want, not necessarily like just giving food, but they take what they feel like they would eat and prepare. So it gives them a bit of food, like, I guess, dignity in the experience of getting free food. And one thing I've noticed is that people do not know that sometimes there's a farm or a garden right around the corner from them. Because they're kind of hidden. So doing that research of local farmers, supporting your farmers markets. I'm going to shout out the Black Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. I've worked with them quite a bit to do food demos at their markets. So be exploring different markets, especially in North Carolina. Oh my gosh, there's so many farmers markets on Saturdays and Sundays. So exploring those options, you're probably going to get things that are more in season too. Meaning it's going to be the most nutrient rich, and it's coming locally. It's not traveling across, you know, from the West Coast to the East Coast to get to you, which means that you're going to have more nutrients in that food, and the taste is better. There's things that you can do too, like getting involved with like community projects, like community gardens, supporting food co-ops. I'm actually on the board for Fertile Ground, which is a food co-op. Where we're trying to build a grocery store in Southeast Raleigh. Being a part of or looking up mobile produce markets. And then that's the more urgent response, right, of how to be an advocate. Another way is just demanding policy changes, like trying to get involved with some of your food security networks that actually may be in your neighborhood, or maybe someone knows about, or if you, you know, just Google food security networks in your area, you'll be surprised by the amount of effort and the people that are out there trying to make sure that everyone has equity in the food that we have. So I think those are some of the ways, like the base level ways, that you can at least get started and to learn about deeper about what the problem is. I think that's a good start.
Like I said earlier with my mom, you know your stuff, man. That's very informative. I hope our listeners really took notes on that. That's good stuff.
Thank you
for that answer.
No problem.
I want to ask your opinion about something. I don't know if I would call it controversial, but there's always those who are proponents and those who are opponents of this, supplements. You know, this is for me, a big one. What should people know about supplements versus getting nutrients from food?
Yes, that's a good one. Supplements are exactly what they say they are. They supplement. That's number one, right? Like they supplement, they are addition to, they complement, right? What you're already doing. So I do want to also dispel this myth too. Most people think, oh, if I take a supplement, but then I just kind of eat whatever. But you know, magically something will happen. That's not how it works. Yeah. And a lot of times the way the supplement is absorbed is based on what you eat throughout the day. And it has the most benefit of what you eat throughout the day, even down to water consumption. Even there are certain medications, like if you take medications for like diabetes or whatever that is, you will notice on the back of the pill, it says, take with a balanced diet. Yeah. People forget about that part, right? It's just, oh, I'm going to pop it and my diabetes is going to be fine. You know, my dad told me that the other day. I'm like, Dad, that ain't how it works. You got to make some other changes, you know? But I think it's in the word, it's a supplement, it's an addition to. I will point out, though, that there are supplements on the market that you have to be weary of because supplements are not regulated by the FDA or by they're not mandatory. Right. It's not required for them to be regulated. So they may, let's say Joe has a supplement and he's saying it has all these elements of protein and all these nutrients on the front of the label. But when you come down to it and when it's tested, it has less than 25% of what it's saying that it has.
Wow.
So I think that's something else that we need to be more mindful of because some companies will market towards certain communities and Black communities are one of them, you know? So there are some certification companies out there. One that I know of, and you probably see on some of your more like multivitamins, your standard vitamins, it's called USP. If it has a USP certified label on the front of it, that means it has been tested and it's been proven to have what it has that it says that it has in that particular supplement. Another one is NSF. Okay. And that they have a website where you can actually look and see, you know, if there are certain supplements that you're taking that are credentialed by them too. And there are some other certification companies, but just know that not all of them or not any of them really are required to be or to have a certification to prove that what they say is in it is actually in it. So just being mindful of that.
Great info. I'm taking it all in myself. I'm actually learning a lot. I really, really appreciate this. So before we close, because this has been great, time has just flown by, honestly, I always give my guests the floor to talk about whatever they want to share about their business. I mean, I know you have your business, your nonprofit, how to get in contact with you for your services. Anything you want to talk about, I give you the floor.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can follow us. Eat Well Exchange is the nonprofit I have. We provide nutrition education with a focus on cultural foods. And we also do that through cooking classes, cooking demos for the community, through nutrition workshops virtually and in person, and then food access initiatives like gardening or setting up free farmers markets. So if that sounds like something that you want to bring to your community, your group, your organization, or even your household, you could go to our website at eatwellexchange.org and subscribe. And actually, if you subscribe, you'll actually get a handout that has how to use different herbs and spices to decrease the salt that we intake. And I think that'd be a helpful guide for a lot of people of how to season there and bring the flavor of their foods without adding salt to it. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Eat Well Exchange, one word. And we also have YouTube where you can actually... we have some videos on there where you can cook along with us. Wow. We actually have a video. I think it's like 15, 20 minute collard greens. Wow. So definitely check out some of those videos that we have online. And it's also a reflection of what type of classes and things that we offer to the community. So you can see behind the scenes of what that looks like. And then I also will add, because, you know, I've been in Raleigh for about 5 years now, and I've been able to partner with some great people. We actually have a research study that we're partnering with Duke Health. And that research study is basically what we're recruiting for is Black Americans, And we're putting them on what we call the DASH diet, and with cultural foods from the African diaspora. And in that study, you'll be cooking. It's cooking classes and it's virtual nutrition classes. Wow. And it's a paid study. You get paid for this. And what we're trying to figure out is if you ate your cultural foods and the DASH diet, will it decrease your chance of kidney disease? Mm. So that's for the month of October. So definitely go to our website to find more information or message us about it. We'll love to send you more information about that. And then, yeah, just follow us on social media, get connected with us. You can always reach out to me by DM me, on Eat Well Exchange, and I can give you more information of how we can work together one-on-one as well.
Wow. Jasmine, this has been amazing. I promise you, you just given us so much to think about, and they're practical tips. So I encourage our listeners, if you haven't done so, man, start today. And Jasmine, thank you so much. You always have an open invitation on the Unknown Preacher LA. Much love to you. And I really commend what you're doing.
Oh, thank you for having me. Y'all have a great day.
Amen. Amen.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.